We have a ministry here called Mountain. It's for our young adults 30 and younger. And their monthly meeting will be this Saturday night here at the church in the warehouse, the youth room. And I'll be ministering to our young adults 18 to 30 at 7 o'clock. That is the range of that. And you are invited, if you're a young adult, please come and meet some other young adults that are on fire for Jesus and are looking to meet new friends. Before I begin, let today's service and the continuing series on Fearless, I'm very excited about today's word and the providence of God. Is a few weeks ago when I put this together, not even realizing the significance of this message on this day. It's just wonderful how God has led. Here's my story. A lady went to a psychiatrist complaining of a terrible phobia. She said, "Every time I lay down in my bed, I get a terrible fear that there's something underneath it." "Wow," responded the psychiatrist. "I've never heard of such a phobia. But like all phobias, it can be treated. But it will likely take around 20 sessions. "Okay," responded the lady. "How much is a session?" "Oh, it's just $80 each session. But trust me, it's worth it." When the lady didn't come back to the psychiatrist, he finally gave her a call. "How come I didn't hear from you?" he asked. "Well," responded the lady, "when I came home and told my husband about the cost, he thought he would save us some money, so he just cut the legs out of our bed." So you're just one saw away from freedom, ladies. If you have your notes, Overcoming the Orphan Heart is our subtitle. Our main text is Romans chapter 8. How many of you appreciate the word of God, God's food for your soul and your spirit? Faith comes through God's word, and we celebrate God's word. Beginning with verse 14, "For as many as are led," this is a great Greek word. It's used as an agrarian word that farmers would use when they would lead animals around by a loosely fitting rope around a well-known animal, a well-familiar animal, and they would simply walk in front of it and tug the animal which way to go. It means to gently nudge or tug. So the Holy Spirit is always nudging and tugging the hearts of believers. That's just His voice, His presence, His conviction, His guidance inside of us. We have, all of us have that as believers. For as many as have that nudge of heaven by the Spirit of God, these are the sons. The sons being a generic term, it means sons and daughters of God, the children of God. Everybody say, "I'm a child of God." Okay, so the Holy Spirit's accomplishing that work inside of you. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." The word fear is the word phobia. And phobios is where we get our word fear and phobia. Many phobias, you know. Homophobia is the fear of sermons. Phobia is the fear of fears. There's a fear of belly buttons. There's a fear of chopsticks. There's a fear of flying, of driving, of leaving the house, staying in the house. So there's all kinds of fears. We're not belittling people that are bound by those fears. We're just telling you that in Jesus, doesn't matter what they call your fear, you have freedom. Because God, you've not received the slavery, bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." Abba in Aramaic means daddy. So it's a term, it means father, but more endearing, daddy, God. Remember the first time you heard someone call God daddy? Did you ever have that or poppy and you were thinking, "Well, how inappropriate is that, that they would call the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, the creator of heavens and earth, the almighty God?" But that's inside of the heart of every believer, an endearing closeness to God. So Jesus shows up on the scene. He is the voice of God, the Lamb of God, the Word of God. He is the most reliable instrument of truth the world has ever known and will ever know. And He shows up and says, "Here's who God is." And for 150 times in four Gospels, Jesus said, your God is your Father. So he didn't call him by the many, there's at least 100 names of God in the Bible, and you can really amplify that almost to 300 with some pronouns and some other ways that God's described. So these hundreds of names of God, Jesus put them all together and said, here's who God is. He's your Father. He's your Father. And so introducing us to a relational context that ends up being key to the journey of our life and the amount of heavenly purpose we fulfill on this journey related to our relationship with God. So it uses the phrase, we've received the Spirit of adoption. That's a title of the Holy Spirit, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about adoption in Western culture or in modern times, adoptions when a child in an orphanage or a child in a foster care or a child in a family that's experienced loss or devastation is received, adopted, chosen into another family. I just want to applaud anyone here that's adopted children, that's been a foster parent or caretaker. Thank you for your love for others that were hurting. But this word does not mean that. And so we want to attach our understanding into what it actually means. I put it in your notes today. Huiothesia is the Greek word for adoption. And huiothesia means the placement of a son. And here's what would happen. Usually around 30 years old, the age of maturity in Hebrew tradition, at this time, the father would place his hand on the head of his son and publicly proclaim, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I bestow upon him now all my riches and power and authority so that he might act on my behalf in all of my affairs. So you can see that this means something different than just being added to a family. It means being empowered to destiny. So inside of you, the Holy Spirit is telling you, you're loved, you're accepted, you're a child of God, a daughter, a son of God, and that you've been given from your loving Father all the stuff you need to change the world, all the power, the authority, the right, the privilege to carry out his mission, to get his will done. So it's literally when the Father would say, the living Father would say to a living son, I'm giving your inheritance even before I go. Enter into now your manhood. Take over the family business. Take over and rule and reign. So it was that kind of transaction, that transition of life. And so when the Bible says we've received the Spirit of adoption, it means we've received the Spirit that turns us loose to change the world. We've received the history-making, world-shaking Spirit. We've received that Spirit from God that tells us we're loved, we're chosen, we're called, we're empowered, we're anointed, that we're going to do something for God, with God, and through God. That's what we've received, earth-shakers, history-makers, from God. So we've received that Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's inside of you telling you, you can do this. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The works that Jesus did, you can. If Jesus did it, you can do it. The Holy Spirit's inside of you preaching a continual series of messages all related to your identity, because your identity unlocks your destiny. The devil's most strategic and strongest spiritual warfare against your life will always be his attack to diminish and destroy or deceive your kingdom identity. But in the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit is working day and night to tell you who you are. Listen, on Father's Day, there are mixed emotions because of earthly fathers and earthly experiences. We've had good or bad or absent or neglected, whatever it was. And so for many people, their journey to closeness with God requires overcoming the misinterpretations they have about Father God because of natural people. But God is up to the task. The Bible says he's the father of the fatherless. He's up to the task of showing you a love. Human fathers do not replace our Heavenly Father. They mimic or model his intentions. We're called to bless our children with destiny, identity, and purpose. Who am I? Name them, identify them. The children were brought before Jacob, and Jacob told them, you know, you're Reuben, and you're going to have this. So he would spill out of his heart the things God put in them. And so that's what God That's what natural fathers do, representing a heavenly father. But you have a direct connection to your heavenly father that doesn't come through a preacher or through a natural father. You have your father is my father, our daddy God. You're a good, good father. And we can say to him, Abba Father, daddy God, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for calling me, choosing me. Thank you for imparting your blessing upon me. So that's our standing with our loving God. So then, because the Holy Spirit has that abiding position of revealing our identity, verse 16 says, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When someone asks you, well, how do you know for sure you're saved? Have you ever had that question? And I said, well, you know, I know theologically, here's what the Bible says. I've gone through those process. I confessed him as Lord. I believe in my, but I just tell him, I know in my knower. There's a settledness that comes by the witness of the Holy Spirit telling me I belong to God. God belongs to me. Amen. I'm forever his. That comes. The Holy Spirit bears witness. This is by far the most common way the Holy Spirit leads us, is by this bearing witness, by this nudge and tugging and direction, this inner guidance system, this inner GPS of his presence. So the Holy Spirit bears witness. Now, how many of you can say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit bears witness, I'm born again, I know in my nowhere. Come on, if you know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So there's a consequence to that. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just tell you you're saved. He tells you what you've been given in your salvation. Next verse. And if we are children, there's a consequence. If we've been adopted, if we've had the placement of sons where he calls us his beloved sons and daughters, then we are heirs. Every verse in the Bible is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, every promise in the Bible is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, every verse in the Bible is your inheritance from a loving God written to you. It is God's promises through Christ that are yours. So we have received an inheritance. Our earthly journey is to discover what Christ died to give us by his grace on the cross. That discovery comes through the revelation of Scripture. And God doesn't want you to just to know things. He wants you to experience them. Revelation doesn't come to bring you knowledge. It comes to give you an encounter with that truth. To make it a life action, a life experience with you. So if we're heirs then it gets exaggerated. Now, here's where we lose preachers and lose religious folks. Then we are also joint heirs, co-equal heirs with Christ. So whatever he has, we have been given. See, we don't have a secondary form of righteousness. The Bible says we've been given the righteousness of Christ. He made him who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So God's given us the best in his Son. And so here's how Jesus said. Jesus said, if I've done it, you can do it. The works that I've done, you do. And greater works than these will you do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So Jesus said, I want you to continue this process. I want you to continue spreading the kingdom of God and doing good works and destroying the weapons of hell. I want you to do all of that. I empower you to do it. I empower you to do it. Jesus was baptized. The Bible records it. Matthew 3, it's in two of the Gospels at least. He's baptized the River Jordan. He comes up out of the water and the Bible says the heavens were torn open. A thundering voice was heard by all those around him. And the voice said, this is my beloved son, huiosia, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, please get this. All of our lives, we quest for acceptance, for significance. We quest for it. We want to be accepted. We want to be significant. We want to be approved of. And God says, oh, everything you need, people don't, people don't have the power to give you, I'm going to give you. You're my beloved son, my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Acceptance, approval, affirmation. So God gives us our daily bread, our essential human need, by relationship with him. When our relationship with him is not developed, when it is somehow stalled or imperfect because we have mistrust of him. See, God is not in heaven saying, come here, maiden, I got something for you. You with me? Sorry, some people can't say he's a good father because you'd spit your, someone chasing you around with a belt. I want to show you, I guess I was the only one that got the belt around here. God have mercy upon my soul. So some people are terrified of God in that picture. So they love Jesus. They just don't know the mystery of the Father. Who is this Father person? Well, Jesus said, if you want to know God, look at me. Everything I've done, he told me to do. Everything I've said, he whispered in my ear. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, God the Father wants you to know there's nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. Can I put my belt back on so my pants don't fall down? What happened at church today? Well, pastor's pants fell down. Pretty exciting. Or pretty gross, depending on your point of view. Yeah, get a picture of that, Pastor Bob. Hallelujah. Get this belt on. Yeah, I can't wait for this to be over Facebook. So, the truth is, our suspicions of God are born by either the way we were born broken in Adam. We were born with imperfect natural parents. Some of you grew up without a natural father, and so don't even know some of the roles of that. And our society is almost saying, we've come to the place of society saying, do we really need fathers? Yeah. Fathers represent God. It's like saying, do we really need God? Yeah. But when fathers are absent, either emotionally, spiritually, physically, God says, I'm up to the task of helping you. Y'all with me? I thought when I fell in love with Mary, I stopped dating when I was in college, and I said, I'm just gonna believe God for the right woman. God gave me Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. You with me? There's billions of women in the world, you can't find the right one without help. Just ask God to help you. Oh, God, help me. And so he did, and I fell in love with Mary. I'd never known love like that. And I thought that life couldn't get better until Melody Joy was born. 13 months after we were married, we gave birth to we were children having children. But we, by the fourth one, we got pretty good. And something inside of me I'd never known came. You see, you represent something in God he never knew until you came. There's a love solely devoted to you that only you can satisfy in God's heart. There's a value, a significance. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You're a one workmanship poema. You're a one of a kind original masterpiece created by a master artist. God so loved you. You with me? He loves you skinny. He loves you overweight. He loves you this. Imperfections and everything. There's nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. So that's who God is. So we have created, we've twisted in religion and manufactured a God that looks like our emotion. So when people are angry, they have an angry God. God, if God doesn't destroy San Francisco, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, sometimes the pride of the church is the worst sin in a city. The pride of the church. And God would have us know he loves people. He's not at war with the world. He was at war with sin. We say this, this is a common phrase, God loves sinners but hates sin. So I've shaped it like this. God hates sin because of what it does to people he loves. If you don't get that right, there'll be a hostility, especially because we're tempted 5 minutes after we're saved to be a Pharisee. I can't believe people are smoking. What, how long have you stopped smoking? 5 minutes. Those smokers driving me crazy. People ask, Pastor, if I smoke, will I go to hell? No. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven. You'll just go there faster than the rest of us. You with me? So Jesus came to introduce this love, this co-equal status with God. 1 John 3 says it like this, verse 1. Behold what manner, what fashion, what quality of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God. The sons of God. Half of my life growing up in church, preachers and theologians used terror to try to change people. You're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every sin you've done, the whole world will see. No way. Yes way. Well, that kind of horrific terror drives people from intimacy with God. God wants us to be holy, but he doesn't love us because we're holy. His love empowers us to be more holy. You can't wait till you're good to think God loves you. God loves you when you're good, bad, and ugly. He loves you now. And that encounter with his love, that huiothesia, he says, you're my child. Today, the Father's blessing is coming into your life. The Father, you're a blessed person. You have a destiny. You have a purpose. You have a dream. You have a significance. You have value. You're a one of a kind. No one can replace you. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up. God's not done writing your story. He turns messes into miracles. Sin has made all mankind orphans, but grace turns orphans into sons and daughters of God. We have this tremendous need for acceptance. And so the Father says to Christ, I'm well pleased with you. He hasn't preached one sermon. He hasn't healed one person. He hasn't accomplished any purposeful thing. He's been in preparation for 30 years, doing good, you know, sinless, but he has been without powerful destiny fulfillment. And God says, before you preach your first sermon, I love you. Before you heal your first sick, before you do all the stuff you're gonna do. See, when I was a young man, I tried to do things so good or accomplish things so high, people would say, would accept me. People would approve of me. And the problem with living off of the oxygen of success, no success lasts forever. And if you live off of the oxygen of success, you'll die when it is removed by difficulty or failure. So God says, I want to give you a constant, consistent, overcoming life. You're my child. No matter what's going on in your life, you're my child. I bless you. I accept you. I receive you. I've got things for you. I've placed upon you a mantle of significance, a mantle of destiny, a mantle of heavenly purpose. And God says, I'm going to heal your orphaned heart. I'm going to heal it. I'm gonna heal it. You don't have to prove nothing to nobody. Y'all with me? Don't have to prove nothing to nobody. You live for an audience of one. His name is your loving God. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is, you live for an audience of one. And the Lord says, in the same chapter that says, all creation groans in his labor, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting for God's kids to receive their inheritance. It's inheritance time. Just turn to someone and say, it's inheritance time. I prophesied to a family member a few years ago without knowing anything. I said, hey, the Lord shows me that there's a sizable inheritance going to come to you. And they said to me afterwards, well, we don't have anybody rich in our family. I said, well, that's just what the Lord showed me. So 6 months later, they called me. You're not going to believe this, but like a third cousin we didn't even know about in the Midwest just left us $1 million. I don't want to go to heaven and find out all the inheritance I didn't get. Come on. I want it now in Jesus. So the closer I come to my Father, when Mary and I, we drove home from California last night, got time for our granddaughter's birthday party. And so my grandkids run up to me. They didn't run up and say, oh, hello, Dr. Maiden. Appreciate your graduate degrees. They said, oh, hello, Pastor Maiden. No, I don't even know if they know my name. They just call me Pop. They run, Puppy. Puppy. God wants us to run into his lap and say, Daddy. Daddy God. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be distant from him. Don't be mistrusting of him. But allow your heart to be open to him. You can talk to him openly, freely, lovingly. Daddy, Father God, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for healing me and helping me. Thank you for transforming me. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. I'm no longer terrified of you. But you have delivered me from fear. Amen. When I'm afraid, and when fear has a stronghold in my life, it reveals a place where I lack relational closeness or intimacy with God, because his presence there will conquer my fear. I want to pray for you, and I got into the first point of a 4-point message, but the Holy Ghost will give you the rest of it. But I feel his presence, so I want to pray for you. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like the ladies to stand up for just a moment. Women in our church, women that are watching. So, this moment, when a father would speak over his son, a patriarchal blessing, was the release moment, the trigger moment of destiny, of fulfilled significance in the life of that young man. As in the kingdom, God doesn't just bless men, he blesses women. He blesses everybody. Everybody gets a full inheritance in the kingdom. So, ladies, if you wouldn't mind, if you are comfortable raising your hands, I'd like to pray this prayer over you. You are my beloved daughter, says the Lord, in whom I'm well pleased. I accept you. I approve of you. I affirm you. You are beautiful, you are significant, and you are a one-of-a-kind work of art. I bestow upon you all of my riches and power and authority so that you might act on my behalf in all my affairs. I'm uprooting rejection from your heart and displacing it with my acceptance and my love. I'm removing from your mind the shameful accusations of the enemy, or the fearful doubts of insecurity, and I'm going to make you a history maker and a world shaker. I hear the Lord say, daughter, it's time to dream again. Daughter, it's time to laugh again. Daughter, it's time to go forward and to advance in my kingdom and advance in your purpose again. And the Lord said, the things that came against you yesterday will be gone tomorrow. Shake them off. You can't be defeated without your permission. I'm with you to strengthen you, help you, deliver you, empower you, and release you. God, I thank you for blessing these awesome. Come on, just keep worshiping, Lord, everybody. I've called you to be a leader. And God says, some of the trauma that you feel, you've overcome, you've been strong, you've been a great example. You've overcome things that were meant to trip you up and trap you. But I rescued you, I've made you into a great testimony of my grace. But I'm not done telling your story. I'm not done writing the things about your life. And God says, as I've removed the things that hurt you early, God says, you're going to help people be set free from the things that trip them up. And you're going to be a mentor and a coach to many women coming out of the exile of rejection and pain. And you're going to see miracles happen time and time again, says the Lord. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord. I've made you a walking billboard of my grace. Thank you, the Lord says, for not giving up. Thank you for being strong when life was hard. Thank you for being soft-hearted when others became embittered and angry. And thank you for coming to me in prayer. And God says, I have taught you by prayer how to shape things, how to change things, and how to advance things. And God says, my precious daughter, you're coming into the season of miracles like you've never seen before. I'm releasing to you those things you've lifted to me, and they're about to be fulfilled in this season, says the Lord. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. Come on, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm for you, not against you. My love for you can't be defeated. And God says, I have stopped what the enemy tried to advance. And you have felt the work of my grace, and you have known the healing power of my love and my name. And God says, now the Lord says, I release you to go forward. I release you from the imprisoning uncertainty of things that went wrong. And God says, you're not just going to go forward. You're going to run fast. You're going to advance quickly. And you're going to achieve things supernaturally because I'm with you. A great breakthrough is about to happen in your house, in your home, in your life. God is with you supernaturally. He's answering your prayers and releasing to you a season of supernatural restoration until the Lord says, you're not only caught up, but you're far advanced into the things that you have dreamed of and are doing. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. Thank you, God. God, we worship you and praise you. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. I got a great word for you. I heard the Lord say, I've ended the thing that began. I've rebuked the thing that came. And God says, you've stood the best you could. And you've been so open to my hand and my heart. Now the Lord says, I am removing from you the great weight that was put upon you. And God says, it's your time like an eagle coming out of a cage to soar, to fly, and to see miracles. It's miracle time. It's miracle time, says the Lord. Keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord. Come on, keep worshiping the Lord. La la ma na ma na ma na ma na ma na ba da ba da ba da. Before the summer is over, miracles are coming to your house. Before the summer is over, the things prayed in the winter will come to pass. And the Lord said, you have waited this 4.5 years for a certain thing to happen. You pressed in, you fasted, you've been obedient. And God says, it's deliverance time. A great wind of deliverance is coming to those that you love. And your joy will be so full, you're going to be a contagious joy spreader for the things God's doing in you in this next season. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. Worship the Lord, everybody. We worship you and praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Come on, worship the Lord. Come on, month. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. I've released the blessing upon your household. I've released a blessing into your life, into the life of others. And God says, I'm proud of you for what you've overcome. I'm proud of you for how far you've come. And God says, you have a heart of gold. And God says, the difficult season is over. I see 5 years when everything been like walking through quicksand. I'm helping you, I'm with you, I'm delivering you, and I'm making a way for you where there's been no way. God says, get ready, because the three people you've called up to God for, God has done miracles in other lives. Thank you, God, for touching my sister's family. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. There's a lady close to me here that in your family, there is a history of cancer in women. And the Lord told me that you are the one that's breaking that genetic predisposition. Who is that? Okay. God, thank you today that the spirit of premature death is broken. The spirit of cancer is broken. Breast cancer, I rebuke you. I rebuke all forms of cancer. I loose the power of God upon you and upon the ones after you. And declare that by the blood of Jesus, a new contract has been formed between God and your family. And it is a contract free from the curse of cancer in Jesus' name. And in fact, someone's going to be diagnosed with cancer, but God's going to heal them within 6 months. A great miracle is going to happen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. Hey. Ladies, you can be seated. Men, if you would stand up, please. If you wouldn't mind, men, in this Father's Day. If you're comfortable raising your hands, whatever you do to open your heart to God. I want to speak a Father's blessing over you. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. I approve of you. I affirm you. I accept you. I celebrate you. I'm lifting you from the place of insecurity and contention, and I'm putting inside of you the stability of my acceptance and letting you know you're significant to me. You're created for destiny. You're created to see mountains move. You're created to release blessings. You're created to remove darkness. And God says, I want you to know something. I'm not done writing your story. I'm bestowing upon you now all of my riches, my power, my authority, so you, my son, might act on my behalf in all of my affairs. You're going to have an authority to release dominion. God says, you speak power, you speak blessing, you speak freedom over your family, over your business, over your health, your life, and your future. I'm going to teach you how to turn curses into blessings. I'm going to teach you how to overcome evil with good. And I'm going to teach you how to take more territory for my kingdom. And the Lord said, this is going to be your summer of miracles. Watch what I'm going to do for you. My sons, my sons, my sons, go forth and go enjoy, because I'm with you, says the Lord. Come on, someone give God praise. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, someone give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Summer of miracles for your family. The summer of breakthrough. I heard your cry. The Lord says, I'm with you. When everything suddenly was adjusted and suddenly was shaken and your heart was broken, God says, you came to me and I promised you I wouldn't fail you. I wouldn't desert you. I wouldn't abandon you. But God says, because you've looked to me, I'm looking at you. I'm fighting for you. And this is just the beginning of miracles. You've seen just the beginning of things. I'm restoring. I'm rebuilding what was torn down. And I'm regathering what was taken away. And God says, in one day, you're going to see things brought back that were swept away in a three-year storm. I'm loosening the keys to you. I'm loosening the business back to you. I'm loosening the healing of your family. And I'm loosening the healing of your life. And God says, I'm going to make you laugh for joy for the things I do in this next season. I'm a God of restoration, and restoration has begun, says the Lord. Thank you, God, for blessing my friend. Come on. Come on. Come on. Worship the Lord. Thank you, God. Come on. God, we love you, praise you, worship you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're already a miracle man. You've already have a testimony of how much God brought you out of, brought you through. The devil can't believe you're still with God and still standing, still alive. But God says, you're a treasure to me, a trophy of my faithfulness and mercy. And God says, I've given you a tender heart so that you might feel for others. Through the storms that came against you, you might feel the storm of pain therein. and have compassion and help them. I'm healing you. This 7-year journey ends today. I'm healing you of the uncertainty. I'm healing you of the longevity of things that have had a displaced presence. And God says, get ready, my son. This is your launching sequence has begun. The countdown has begun. Destiny is unfolding. Breakthrough is happening. And I'm going to show off. I'm taking you to new heights, new levels, yes. New platforms, new significance, and new favor. Things you never had, you're going to have in abundance in this season. And God says, I've shut the door to things that would condemn you or shame you. And I've opened the door to things that I would release to you. And the countdown has begun, says the Lord. God, thank you for doing it. Come on, worship the Lord, everybody. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I heard the Lord say, you're a good man with a good heart, a good father, you're a good-hearted believer. And God says, I've given you a generous disposition, a generous care, and I'm going to use you to help people. I'm going to use you to help people. I'm resourcing your life supernaturally. I'm going to give you a platform of significance, of influence, and of monetary resource that you'll be able to help all kinds of people. And know this, son, I'm solidifying things between me and you, and I'm showing you clearly the dream I have for your future, which is a great dream. I'm breaking you out of the fog of uncertainty, and now I'm going to open your eyes to the great things, the things I promised you when you were 17 and 18. I'm reminding you again, and I'm replaying before you that those things are about to happen. God, thank you for blessing this man of destiny in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, lift your hands to heaven, everybody. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Come on. I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
It's who I am.
Who I am.
It's who I am.
Who I am.
It's who I am.
Come on.
You're a good, you're a good, good father. It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
I got a great word. There are three men in this section that are, God is healing your physical heart. And I rebuke the predisposition to heart disease, heart weakness, heart bypass. God's going to give you a heart bypass right here as we stand. So I want anybody, if you know you have a heart issue or been, or if that's in your family, just hold up your hand. There's one. Anyone else? I know there's three of you. Thank you. Thank you. So just put your hand right there in your heart. God, I loosen miracles to these men now in the name of Christ and declare, God, you heal their hearts. You heal broken hearts. You heal them physically. You heal them emotionally. I loosen healing to these men in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for healing them now in Jesus' name. I'm opening the door. They padlocked it like 10 times. So like 10 locks. I saw God just put a finger on it. It snapped open. I'm supernaturally opening the door that men have shut. I'm supernaturally releasing what men have kept. I'm supernaturally advancing what has been denied and delayed. And God says, you get ready, son, because I know how to catch you up. I know how to put you where you're supposed to be. And God says, the enemy has been fierce against you, but I am fierce for you, and I win. And God says, because you didn't quit, you're winning, and you're going to have the testimony of a great breakthrough. You've seen it twice before. This time will be bigger than both times, because I'm fighting for you, says the Lord. God, thank you for helping my brother Jesus. Stand. Come on. Come on. Hey, everybody, stand up, please.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you
come on.
Are.
And I'm loved by you. Prayer team, would you please join me down front?
It's who I am.
Come on, sing it.
It's
you're a good,
I
good
am.
Father.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Listen, as we go home today, I want to remind people that if you prayed the prayer to invite Christ into your life, we'd love to talk to you. We have classes and really tools to help you grow in your faith. And we're so excited for you. The Lord spoke to me. There were people here that had been through. And if I, you know, prophetically, we would have advanced this if we had all day. But there are people here today that have been through just hurtful things. And there's real life trauma related to issues of your father. And I heard the Lord say, this is your breakthrough day. God's helping you get free from pain related to your natural father. Your heavenly father supersedes by his authority, his presence, his grace, any interference or imperfection or pain caused by other people. So this is your freedom day. I want to pray for you at this altar. If you need a physical healing, want more prayer, there's a great grace for that today. God's helping people. And so anyone wanting prayer and those that God's touching your hearts about your natural father, would you please come forward now? We're just going to worship a little bit longer, and those that need prayer, come to this miracle altar. Something good's going to happen today in Jesus' name. The rest of you, for just a moment, you're a good, good father. Sing it.
You're a good, good father.
It's
who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Oh, Mary and I love you, an awesome church. I'll be ministering here Wednesday night. Can't wait. Have a great week. Tell someone Jesus loves them. You can stay and worship with us as long as you'd like. God bless you. Happy Father's Day, Father.